Well, I didn't expect to get an ovation, so that was pretty cool. That's a good start. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Good morning to everybody, and beautiful day outside. So, for November, wow. Yeah, I'm just thrilled to be here, sharing a little bit with you guys, and thanks for being here. My name is Andy Bingham. Like David said, if we have anybody that's here for the first time, but I think most everybody knows me, for better or for worse. So so does anybody use night lights at their house? I mean, if you have a little kid, you probably have night lights plugged in, right? So we have some at our house. We've got them in the hallway, the bathroom. Lucy has one in her bedroom, and it's really cool. It's the Northern Lights. So if you guys know what that is, you can see these Northern Lights in Canada, or from Canada, Scotland, Russia, Alaska. Very cool. The Northern Lights occur when gas particles in the Earth's atmosphere collide with charged particles from the sun's atmosphere. And the lights are not particularly bright, but they do put off kind of a glow. So her nightlight is kind of, it's green, pink, yellow. It's really cool. It's not too bright, but it just puts off a nice glow. She loves it. So that's Ashley. It's on Ashley and I's bucket list to one of these days maybe see the Northern Lights. But if you YouTube or Google the Northern Lights, you'll really see some really cool pictures and videos of them. So night lights are pretty important in our house, and I've stepped on things many times before or stubbed a toe once in a while. So they work out. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Chronicles 36. This morning we're gonna look at Israel's exile to Babylon, and also we're gonna look at a leader named Ezra, who leads Israel back to their promised land. He brings them back out of the dark into the light. So 2 Chronicles, 36, starting at chapter 15, says this: "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary, and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there." Happy Sunday morning. "He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rests. All the time of its desolation it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken to Jeremiah." So the people of Israel, they forgot their first love. The relationship that they once coveted with God was lost. They rejected God's truth and idolized false gods. They let their disobedience and sinful nature overtake them. But God sent a prophet, Jeremiah, to Judah to warn them of this disaster that was to come if they failed to listen. Jeremiah 26:4 says, "Say to them, this is what the Lord says, if you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make the house like Shiloh and this city a curse among all the nations of the earth." God's promise to his people through the prophets had come true. and now it's Jerusalem's time. The Babylonians destroyed the city, razed the temple, and carried the Jews away to Babylonia, where they would be exiled for 70 years. The people of Israel had no idea how their decision would impact and alter the course of history. Have you ever gotten advice from someone and you didn't take it? You wish you had it? I think this is kind of where Israel is at this time. They wish they would have listened. You know, here lately, well, a week and a half ago, a couple weeks ago, we had some wet weather. I hope I don't get bad luck from this. So so it rained, right? We had a lot of rain. You guys ever wonder who invented the umbrella or where did this come from? So on a rainy day in the 1750s, a man named Jonas Hanway decided to do what no man had done before. He walked down the street in London on a rainy day with a portable roof over his head. We call it an umbrella. It was considered an accessory suitable for women. Real men just got wet. But for 30 years, Jonas Hanway was the most ridiculed man in all of England. He was also the driest. So what's the purpose of an umbrella? Keeps us dry, protects us, right? Think of it this way. This is the will of God. And when we're in Christ, we're under God's authority, we're under God's grace, and He gives us hope through challenges through this. This is what protects us. It doesn't mean challenges won't come, but this is what protects us. The one thing that could have kept the people of Israel out of the darkness and into the light is obeying the voice of the Lord. That's all they had to do. So Nebuchadnezzar, he takes out the city of Jerusalem. He destroys the temple, ships the people that managed to stay alive. He ships them to Babylonia, all because Israel chose to break the covenant that Moses laid out for him years and years ago. Deuteronomy 4:25-31 says this, "After you had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and arousing His anger, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed." The people of Israel they've been conquered, they've been defeated, and they've been exiled. Their city had been turned to rubble. Their temple had been burned to the ground. Have you ever felt defeated? Have you ever felt like your sin is too great? Have you ever needed a comeback? The people of Israel did. If we jump ahead to the book of Ezra, the book of Ezra tells the story of the first great return to the promised land by the Hebrew nation. After 70 years in Babylon captivity, they began to return. The first return, it came in three waves. The first return was led by Zerubbabel. The second group was returned and led by Ezra, and then the third by Nehemiah. So we're talking about a lot of people over the course of time, and it took three different waves of groups to head back. Ezra 1, verse 1 through 4 says this, "In the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says, 'The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to provide him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings of the temple of God in Jerusalem. The Lord moved the heart of Cyrus to authorize Israel's comeback. Let me remind you of something today. God is a God of comebacks. He knows your story, He knows your hurt, and He knows your pain. Don't you just love a good comeback? NFL quarterback Alex Smith has been the center of an unbelievable comeback story. In 2018, while playing against the Houston Texans, Alex was sacked on a play and as a result suffered a compound fracture to his tibia and fibula. A lot of football players get injured, but not many suffer what Alex Smith did that day. His injured right leg would become septic. He underwent 17 surgeries as the doctors fought to stop the infection. After visiting a military rehab unit in Texas and seeing the men and women there fight through their injuries to get back to everyday life, a fire was lit in Alex to get back out on the football field. 2 years after his injury, he would be back playing quarterback for the Washington football team. Alex is known for his heart and determination, but more than that, he's known for his ability to mentor young quarterbacks and lead them to be stronger people physically and mentally. One of those young quarterbacks he mentored, somebody named Patrick Mahomes. It's clear that God has ordered Israel's comeback. The return was prophesied by Isaiah over 150 years ago. He has ordained this time and this place to change circumstance and alter the course of history once again. And it all started with the Lord moving the heart of a king. Isaiah 44:28 says, "Who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd, and will accomplish all that I please'? He will say of Jerusalem, 'Let it be rebuilt,' and of the temple, 'Let its foundations be laid.'" King Cyrus was on the throne on earth, but God was on the throne in heaven. There's no one that God can't reach. He can move the heart of anyone. God was directing Cyrus's steps back then, and He directs our steps still today, and I'm thankful for that. Proverbs 21:1 says this, "The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever it pleases." Anyone need a restart? Do-over? Anybody have an obstacle standing in their way? Maybe a relationship didn't work out like you'd hoped. Or your job didn't pan out. Friendships, family. Maybe you aren't who you used to be or who you want to be. But God is a God of comebacks. A man named Dr. Beta Minjitsu once said, "When you have a setback, you do not take a step back because God has already prepared your comeback." If you get under the umbrella of God's will, you'll still be subject to challenges, there's no doubt. But plan on being disappointed. Sometimes your win might actually be just a tie. But once you find yourself under the umbrella of God's authority and grace, look for things to change. John 16:33 says, "In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." If God can use a king named Cyrus to build a temple that he doesn't even worship, what do you think he can do for you? God called Ezra to bring a spiritual renewal among the Israelites and give them hope. He came from the lineage of Aaron, the high priest, and was a priest himself. He knew the law, he lived the law, and he was devoted to seeing others do the same. Ezra was a young, knowledgeable leader of the Jewish law. He was a scribe, which was an elevated position or noble position. He would carefully and diligently copy scripture from scroll to scroll. And if he messed it up, he threw it away and started over again. The name Ezra in Hebrews means the Lord helps me. He was a quarterback of sorts. As I mentioned earlier, he was chosen by God to lead the second wave of people back to the land they once called home. Ezra was ready to go in the darkness and lead his people. He was physically ready, he was mentally ready, but most importantly, he was spiritually ready. Ezra 7, verse 6 through 10 says this. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked for. The hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws to Israel. Ezra was passionate about God's word. He studied it, he practiced it, he shared it with his people. Ezra knew there was a great work to be done, and he was filled with conviction and purpose. He knew the people of Israel needed God's word. Ezra wanted to emphasize the importance of reestablishing the covenant relationship with the Lord. Galatians 6, 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Ezra was focused on the task of restoring worship in the people. He would be leading thousands on a four-month, 1,600-mile journey from Babylonia back to Jerusalem. He's basically taking the population of Joplin and leading them from St. Louis to California. This was not easy. Long, long journey. Have you ever heard someone say, if you're going to talk the talk, then you need to walk the walk? That was Ezra. He talked the talk and he walked the walk. Ezra wanted the people of Israel to recognize God's authority. He encouraged them to get under the umbrella. He provided great leadership. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." Ezra trusted that the Lord would use him to restore true worship in Jerusalem by reminding the people of God's teaching through his passion for the word. Have you ever thought about what you're passionate about? Are you passionate about God's word? Isaiah 41:10 says, "I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you." I love the words, "I'll hold you steady." It reminds me of an old song called "The Anchor Holds." God is our anchor. He steadies us. He holds out the umbrella and says, "Let me protect you." Ezra's calling was to lead strong in the midst of an uncertain journey. What's God calling you to do? Is he calling you to lead? Does anybody remember a news article from several years ago called "Miracle on the Hudson"? So 10 years ago, on January 15, 2009, U.S. Airway Flight 1549 departed from LaGuardia Airport in New York. Shortly after takeoff, birds flew straight into the engine, disabling both. Captain Chelsea Sullenberger radioed that he needed to reroute and make an emergency landing. After the tower told him to return to LaGuardia Airport, the captain knew the airport wasn't close enough and time was running out. He made the decision to land the plane in the Hudson River. Even though the pilot was a 40-year veteran, he knew the odds of him safely landing the plane in the river were not in his favor. As the passengers cried out for someone to bring order to the chaos they were experiencing, the captain kept the plane high enough to clear the George Washington Bridge, and 90 seconds before landing, he calmly addressed the passengers with the words, "Brace for impact." The captain landed the 80-ton plane without it coming apart. While the cold water of the river flooded the plane, all the passengers made it out without major injuries. The captain was the last man off the plane after making sure everyone was accounted for. In life, we often need to hear, "Brace for impact." It's easy to lead when everyone is following, but leadership can be tested when opposition arises. Ezra knew the journey back to Jerusalem would not be without opposition. But God reminds us in John 16:13, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." You may have to brace for impact once or twice or more in life, but God lights our path and holds out the umbrella. In the late 1800s, a man named D.L. Moody attended a meeting where he heard a man named Henry Varney say, "The world has yet to see what God will do with one man who is wholly devoted to him." When D.L. Moody left that meeting, he said, "I will be that man." Ezra was that man, fully devoted to the Lord. I believe God is calling us to a life of devotion. I believe He longs to see us walk with Him. And even though we'll mess it up from time to time, God reminds us to just keep walking, just keep trying. The Israelites must have felt a little uneasy about following Ezra after learning of the opportunity to return to their land. They probably heard "just keep walking" or "just keep trying," but they were pretty hesitant, I'm sure, after what happened. For one, they were probably fairly comfortable in their current surroundings. We get that way, right? This isn't probably my comfort zone up here, but you know, when the Lord asks us to do something, we do it. God undoubtedly moved in the heart of the people of Israel, but their first step on this long journey was to trust their leader and to have faith that God would give, that would guide their steps and provide for their needs. First Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you." Have you ever sensed God's leading in your life but hesitated to act on it? I'm sure the people of Israel did. Ezra called on the people of Israel to change their way of living, to turn from their sin, return to worship, and obey God's word. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has a future and a hope for us. Our journey's not over. God wrote Israel's journey, and He's written yours too. Author Mark Batterson said, "God is our refuge, our shield, but He is also our banner, the God who goes before us, the God who fights for us." Isn't that why we put our trust and hope in Him? Even when we mess up, God begins our comeback story. I'm thankful for that. Ezra 9:9 says this, "Though we are slaves, our God has not deserted us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He has granted us new life to rebuild the house of our God and repaired its ruins. And he has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. God has not forsaken us. He's not given up on us. The more we find ourselves operating outside of God's goodness and mercy, the more he longs to restore us. John 15:4 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." The journey back to our homeland, to our Jerusalem, begins by trusting in a God who cares for you, who loves you, and who wants to stay connected to you. He wants to see us through the journey. Sometimes we see a well-lit, clear path, and sometimes we see a glow or a glimpse of light. Nevertheless, God is at work, revealing his promise never to leave us. Anybody need a little help through the darkness once in a while? A man named Jim O'Neill did. The 65-year-old pilot was 40 minutes into a four-hour solo flight from Glasgow, Scotland, to Colchester, England, when his vision failed. He initially thought he had been blinded by the sun, but soon realized it was much worse. "Suddenly, I couldn't see the dials in front of me. It was just a blur. I was helpless," he said. He gave a new meaning to the phrase "flying blind." Turns out he'd suffered a stroke. O'Neill reached and found the radio of his Cessna and issued a Mayday alert. Paul Garrard, a Royal Air Force wing commander who had just completed a training nearby, was contacted by air traffic controllers and took off in O'Neill's direction. He found the plane and began talking to the stricken pilot. The commander told O'Neill what to do. His instructions were reassuring and simple. "A gentle right turn, please. Left a bit. Right a bit." He hovered within 500 feet of O'Neill, shepherding him towards the nearest runway. Upon reaching it, the two began to descend. When asked if he could see the runway below, O'Neill apologized, "No, sir." Negative. O'Neill would have to land the plane by faith, not by sight. He hit the runway but bounced up again. The same thing happened on the second attempt. But on the eighth try, the blinded pilot managed to make a near-perfect landing. Anybody relate? We've all been dealt a blow, perhaps not a stroke like Jim O'Neill, but a divorce, cancer, a sick child. Sometimes a safe landing doesn't seem anywhere in sight. But God is our shepherd. He's our commander, ready to guide us to a safe landing. The BBC News made the recording of the final 4 minutes of the flight available. The instructions from the commander sounded a little like this. "You've missed the runway this time. Let's start over. Just another gentle right-hand turn. Keep the right turn coming. Roll out left. No need to worry. Roll out left. Left again. Keep coming down. Turn left. Hey, no problem. Can you see the runway now?" "So you can't see the runway. Keep coming down." And then finally the words, "You're safe to land." Is God calling you to make an important move or a difficult decision? Maybe he's calling you to lead. I believe if your first step aligns with God's, then your last step will too. How we choose to live will affect the next generation to come. believe in God's ability to forgive. Believe in God's ability to restore and rebuild. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's a common misconception that the northern lights only come on or are only there at certain times. However, they're actually there all the time. It's just the sky conditions that actually change. Ezra's Reformation showed that people change, God's Word doesn't. God is ready to walk you through any uncertainty, any challenges. He wants to show you that there's a light up ahead. I don't know your personal circumstance. I don't know your current situation. But I do know a God who loves to orchestrate a comeback. Let's stand. God, thank you for your comeback story. Thank you that you walk with us through challenges, through hard times. Thank you that you provide a light at the end. We are grateful for that. I pray, God, over this congregation, and I pray over your people here that whatever story, whatever situation, whatever journey we're walking, I pray that you shed light through the darkness. We are grateful that you choose to walk with us. We're grateful that your word doesn't change. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your restoration. Thank you for rebuilding us and restoring us. We pray this week, Lord, that you walk with us through all our challenges, all our situations. We pray that, God, when the road gets tough or the road gets rough, we pray that you show us a way. Show us a way to better serve you, honor you, by trusting and having hope in what you have for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.